here, everybody. Amen. There's nowhere else that you'd rather be than right here, right now. This is the greatest event of our week. Amen. We're gathered together in the name of Jesus, the church, one place, one accord. Amen. Did you come ready to rejoice and respond today? Well, folks, you're going to be incredibly blessed. I'm going to be incredibly blessed. We are so excited to welcome Reverend Joel Siegel. Amen. Yeah, we're excited about that. Reverend Joel is a good friend of mine. We've known him for years. He and Pastor Amy, his wife, they pastored not too far from here for a good while up there in Orchard Park. They now have a church in Colorado. Amen. Of course, Reverend Joel travels as an itinerant minister. And I'll tell you what a blessing. Folks, if you've never had an opportunity to hear Reverend Joel minister, you're going to be blessed today. Amen. For those of you that are visiting, you know, Family Church, we're just so glad to have you here. You picked a great day to visit. Amen. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor. I'm the guy that is usually going to be doing the preaching. But today we get promoted. We have Reverend Joel here. Amen. Glory to God. So, hey, you weren't supposed to amen too loud with that. we just welcome you. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Amen. The Bible says over there, Proverbs 4:18, it says, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto a better day or a perfect day. One translation says, glory to God. And so we know that God's got a good plan for your life, even though sometimes we know that this life can test you and try to bring troubles. But God's plan is always better, and we find the plan of God right here in the Word of God. Amen. Everything we say and do here, we have to find it solidly in the Scriptures. This church does not change the Bible. The Bible changes this church. Amen. So we are just excited to hear God's word here today. For those of you that are visiting, if you could find a gray card, we do have a gray welcome card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you could just go ahead and fill that out. Please know that when you give that information, we are not going to sell that information or solicit you in any inappropriate way or anything. We just like to have a record for your attendance. And also, you know, we like to send out letters. We like to just welcome you. And of course, the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here all the time. You know, we're just welcoming new family all the time to Family Church. So, you know, we would love to be your home church if you are looking for one. Also, don't forget, we have Wednesday night praise, 6:30 every Wednesday nights. We will, of course, be meeting this Wednesday at 6:30. Praise the Lord. Don't forget about that. Also, we're excited that we have service tonight. Amen. Reverend Joel is going to be ministering tonight right here in Family Church, Jamestown. We have a 6 p.m. service tonight, okay? 6 p.m. Reverend Joel does have his book and CD table out there in the foyer. Folks, I'm not just saying this to be gracious to Reverend Joel. I mean it. He is just a fantastic author. He is writing books that are helping people's lives, blessing so many local churches. I have read his books. They are fantastic. I 150% endorse his materials. And so after service, you know, after you've picked up your kids from the nursery or whatever, make sure you get on over to his book and CD table. You will be blessed. This is a man that has fantastic revelation about the local church, about serving God. And the one thing I love about Reverend Joel is he doesn't flower it up. You're going to just get right to the point, and it's going to be spoken with authority and grace. Amen. So you'll really enjoy those books. Also, for our children's workers, please pick up your new schedule at the reception desk in the foyer. We would certainly appreciate that. Also, Family Fellowship is having a meeting Friday, May 15th at 6:30 p.m. There's going to be a cookout, so go ahead. You know, I know the weather here the next little while is looking pretty good. 75, 80 degrees I saw coming up, so glory to God. We believe for some good weather for May 15th. That's a Friday, 6:30 p.m. Bring a lawn chair and a dish to pass. That would be excellent. All right. Well, everyone say announcements over. Praise the Lord. At this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss our children for our children's ministry. Let's encourage them as they come. Praise the Lord. Hey. Praise the Lord. They're still coming, folks. Yeah. These kids are at the right place at the right time. Amen. Praise God. Well, who's ready for some tithes and offerings? Well, real quickly, I'm just going to bring up a scripture here, 2 Corinthians 9:6. It's, of course, a familiar passage to us. Folks, of course, this is our normal tithes and offerings time for our local church. And so this is where we would bring our tithes. Okay, at the end of the service today, when Reverend Joel is done ministering, how many of you know that it would be inappropriate and unscriptural to invite a guest that God has sent into our midst and then not be generous on return? So after, you know, remember what Jesus said in John 13:20? He said, as you have treated those that I have sent to you, you have treated me. And so when we welcome a guest to our pulpit here at Family Church, we treat them as if Jesus is ministering in our pulpit. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says. And so at the end of the service, we are going to take up a love offering for Reverend Joel. This is not that offering. This is the normal tithes and offerings for the local church. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Notice the ability to reap sparingly is in our own hands. Amen. But read the rest of the verse because it gets better. It says, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, I've noticed this about farmers, that we don't drive by a big farm with a farmer who's got his silos filled to the top. We don't drive by that farmer and criticize him at all, do we? You know, we don't drive by and say, well, that farmer, he's just got too much harvest. You know, how dare he have more harvest than the rest of the other farmers? We don't criticize that farmer. We just realize, well, he must have sowed more seed than the other ones. You know, and for every farmer to have a harvest, he must first have a field to sow it into. Amen. You know, and a farmer wakes up and he gets excited about putting seed in his field because he knows that a harvest season will come. We don't look at our harvest fields. Our harvest fields are our local church, are also traveling ministries. Amen. We look at them as an opportunity to sow. We don't resent the field that our harvest is going to come from. There would be no wise farmer that would ever wake up in the morning and say, how dare that field try to get my seed? Not at all. He'd say, glory to God, I have a field to sow into. Because if I don't have a place to sow, I don't have a place to grow my harvest. Amen. And of course, you know, sowing is up to us. If you want to, you know, reap sparingly, sow sparingly. You know, this is very simple according to the word. Of course, verse 7 is one of our favorite verses. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't like a grudging giver. He doesn't want you to resent. Listen, if it is going to cause you to hold a grudge, just keep it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it because you're looking at some dry times ahead. But I'll tell you what, when you get joyful about your giving, that's when it's going to work for you. Praise the Lord. Of course, today, just remember, this is the final day of our Love Erie campaign. Glory to God. So we're at the end. Next week, we will unveil the grand total. So you don't want to miss it. Actually, we're going to unveil it this Wednesday night and then next Sunday as well. Glory to God. Well, did you come ready to give here today? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to give. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, remember over there in Deuteronomy chapter 26, God commanded them that when they bring their tithes and offerings before him, he said, come and worship me. He said, open up your mouth, give me praise, rejoice. You know, because every time we bring our tithes and we give offerings, we're declaring that the Lord is our provider. Amen. So let's go ahead and do what the word says and just praise the Lord and glorify him. Father, we just magnify you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sow into our local church. Father, we look forward to an opportunity later in this service to sow into Reverend Joel Ministries. And Father, we are just excited today for all that you're going to do in our life. We give you the praise. We give you all the glory. We know that, Father God, that this leads our present. It goes into our future, comes back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, and what men pour into our bosom, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people.
Father, we judge you faithful. We judge you holy. We judge you our provider. You're so wonderful, and we worship you today. Hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord forever. Trust you at all times.
For you have delivered me.
You have delivered me from all fears.
You've set my feet upon a rock.
You have set my feet upon a rock.
I will not be moved.
I will not be moved. And I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower.
Lord, whom have I in heaven?
Whom have I in heaven but you?
There is none I desire.
There's none I desire
beside you. You have made me glad. Save me, Lord, and I worship you with my whole heart. You have made me glad.
You have made me glad.
I'll say of the Lord,
I'll say of
the Lord,
you are my shield, my strength. Time of need.
You are my very present help.
My very present help in time of need.
I can call you, oh yeah, you're my
very present help in time of need.
We worship you, we worship you, Lord. Father in heaven, how we love you.
We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty work.
Everybody.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Father in heaven,
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty words, blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
All over the sanctuary.
Who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Blessed be the
Lord God Almighty,
who was and is,
who was and is to come. Blessed be the
Lord God
today. Father, we have come ready to receive and respond. Father, we're going to be glad today. Father, we know that we're going to receive a change in our life. Father, we thank you. Every time we hear your word, our spirit is fed, our mind is renewed, our body receives strength and health. And Father, we thank you for those that you have sent. Father, we thank you for Reverend Joel, that he could be here with us today. Father, we receive him in honor. Father, we receive his gifts, all that you have put in him. And Father, we know that he has a word in season for us today, one to refresh the weary. Father, we thank you to take us higher. We just give you all the praise and glory. Father, we just give you the praise and glory. Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the manifestations of the Spirit as he wills. And Lord, we'll just give you all the glory. We worship you. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Well, I tell you what, are you hungry? Are you thirsting after righteousness? Well, then you're going to be blessed and filled, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, folks, like I said, we have just a special treat this morning and also this evening at 6 p.m. Reverend Joel Siegel is here to minister to us. And so remember, there's three parts to every service, right? There's God's part. We always know that he does his part, right? There's the minister's part. We know Reverend Joel is prayed up and ready to go. Amen. And now we have our part to play. That's to rejoice, respond, be attentive, draw upon the gifts that are in the minister. Amen. So let's do that today. So at this time, let's go ahead and give a warm family church welcome to Reverend Joel Siegel. Glory to God.
You all can be seated. Thank you. Glory. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Think of all the other places you could be. Jail, the hospital. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I tell you, the presence of God is so strong in here this morning, and his anointing's present. Aren't you thankful for him?
Yes.
What say we start out the service with a miracle? You okay with that? Hey, guys, how you doing? Good to see you. Who are you? Have something with your heart or your lungs? You're having problems with your heart or your lungs. I want to have you come up, minister to you. Go ahead, come on up. You got a problem with your heart or your lungs. Come on right up. It might be more than one person. That's okay. God's going to meet you. Yeah. I'm going to know God's power is bigger than any problem you could have. Pastor Tim made reference to the fact that I pastored in Orchard Park, New York for 11 years, and we had a guy in our church. He had had 4 heart attacks, and not an old guy, young guy, you know, maybe he was in his 50s by that time, and I'm going to know that's not old. And we went to one of Dr. Dufresne's meetings in Fredonia, and during that meeting, an angel came in and was holding a heart, and Dr. Dufresne discerned that, and he said, there's an angel here who's got a heart for somebody. Anyhow, this guy came up, and I don't think he made it all the way up the aisle, and the power of God met him, you know, and went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have no evidence of ever having any heart issue at all.
Amen.
You know, God's not just, he's so big, he's so good. He can heal, but he can also make whole in the sense that there's no evidence.
Amen.
There we go. You ready?
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at me, open up your eyes. You ready?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. There we go. Did that train just go by, or was that me? Hallelujah. For this one, Father. That's all right. Glory to God. Lift your hands up, everybody. Praise the Lord. Glory. Thank you, Father. Good testimonies coming. Good testimonies coming. Woo! Just appreciate the power of God, don't you? How many sense his presence in here today? You know, God will just come get right in the seat with you. So make room. Make room. Glory to God. Pass me that stuff there. Right there. That's it. Glory to God. Pastor said I brought some stuff with me. These things are hot. I don't mean they're stolen. I mean God's on them. And it was actually a challenge bringing these things with me. You know, I have some books Pastor talked about. The post office thought it would be a fun joke to, instead of delivering my stuff up here, they thought it would be fun to bring it up here and then send it right back to Colorado. Except for, and they did that to all the boxes, and then they found the box of my CD series, and they thought it'd be fun to play kickball with that, because It came, half of them were broken, but I still have some stuff out there. Praise the Lord. This is a closest thing that I have to a series on leadership. It's called The Heart of a Servant.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to be great, you got to learn to serve.
Yes, sir.
There's a pastor out in California who, I guess he heard this. All of a sudden, I started getting all of these orders from the same city on my website, people getting this. So he had all his ministry of helps people get this, and they're having me out in June to actually come teach this to the whole church. And so I used to say it's my least popular series, because who wants to hear about serving? But you guys have revelation on that. The way up is to take the place of a servant. Glory to God. That'll bless you. Amen. Then this one is called Abundance, Living with a God Who Doesn't Know When to Stop.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord does have one flaw. He keeps pouring after the glass is full.
Yes.
You know, and so you're just going to have to learn to live with him, because he's not changing. He's always going to retain that that quirk, if you will, that, you know, if you think my boat can hold this many fish, he don't care.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
Amen. He's going to keep pouring.
That's
right. So those are out there. I don't have the honor book. That's back home safe and sound. And if you've heard of the book, What Happened to Honor? I don't have it here, and I don't have the book New Creation Meditations. That's back home. Glory to God. But I did sneak some stuff in my luggage. And so I have this one called Assembled Together, The Power of the Local Church. It's kind of like the Honor Book Part 2, kind of a sequel to it. People think that if they have a local church, that's the same as having a full revelation of the local church. It's not. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a part of a place and not get everything out of that place that I could be getting. So this would be a blessing to you. And then I have one hot off the press. I'll just keep it to myself unless you... No. This one I'm so excited about. This is called The Coming of the Lord. Stable and effective in the last days. I'm going to be honest with you. I preach Crossways to a lot of the body of Christ on this subject. And you might say, well, I'm not all that into the intricacies of the book of Revelation. Honey, me neither. But here's what this is about. This will teach you how to do your part so that Jesus can return.
Amen.
And you may not have realized that part of it's up to you.
Right.
Glory to God. A lot we could say about that. And did you guys have that one? I'll make sure to get you each one and sign it and all that. And
praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's all out there, and you can use a cash check or anybody's. I don't care whose credit card it is. Anybody's credit card you want, they'll take it if you find one. Hallelujah. How about before we get in the Word, you just lift your hands to heaven one time and magnify Him. Father, we're so grateful. Thankful for You today. Thank You that You're a helper. You're a comforter. You give us utterance. You teach us. Open our eyes. Help us to see and understand. Glory to God. Everybody say, thank You, Lord, for Your Word.
Thank You, Lord, for Your Word.
Glory to God. Amen. If you're visiting today, Pastor Tim welcomed you already. Let me just say, don't judge this church based on me, because, see, I'm a guest here. And it wouldn't be right. I want Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie, they're such amazing pastors. I want you to come hear them. And then, well, if you don't like it, sorry, I can't help you. And then if you're a regular person here, don't get mad and leave the church because something I do today or something I say. Come back, let the pastor be the one to run you off personally, okay? Are we agreed? I'm just a guest, but I'm a guest with a message, guest with a mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love being up here. I love this area. I still have a house up here.
Yeah.
And I believe it took me a while to swallow this, but I believe it's strategic that I do. I believe God's doing some things in this area.
Amen.
I don't know how many were here years ago when Dr. Dufresne came in and saw those two angels spinning. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
And what did he say? God's doing it again. God's doing it again. God's doing it again. Guess what? He's doing it again.
Yeah.
He's doing it again. Amen. And did you all ever find out all what that means? He's doing it again? Yeah. Well, he's moved in this area before by his power. And I just believe, you know, there's different, you look back in the move of God, there's always different hubs for things. And the revival that we're in now, and that's going to bring us to the coming of the Lord, there is, it's strategic. There's going to be some strategic hubs. And I believe this part of the country is one of those. And glory to God. I love, you know, when I drive through Jamestown to get here, and this is one of the hardest churches to find. I shouldn't say the church is hard to find. Jamestown is, who drew the maps? It must have been after a bad Bills loss or something that they all got together, the planning board, and they said, let's figure this out, or, you know, blindfold and throw a dart, right? Because the roads you have to take, so I don't care how many years it's been, I have to be on my game just to get here, coming down Route 60. But you come down and you see all the houses right on the street, and you see all the people outside the houses. And I tell you, for years, I mean, compassion just comes up in me. That God loves those people, and he wants to reach those people. Amen. And look at this church that he's put here for that. Amen. Are you in that scripture that I haven't told you to turn to yet? Go to Isaiah, the 54th chapter this morning. Isaiah 54. I've got some things on my heart. I don't have an outline. I don't have notes. I can preach from notes, but not today. So I need you to believe with me and flow with me, right? Stay hooked up. We used to have, you know, Pastor Tim already mentioned, God has a part. I have a part, but you have a part too. And your part's to be a receiver. How many remember when you'd have stereo receivers? You remember the receiver? And that's where your radio was a lot of times. How many know that? You remember the old cars, the cars that had the dial, right? Well, that's a stereo receiver. How many know if it's not turned on, there ain't no sense fussing about why I'm not getting any radio play, right? Why isn't this thing working? What do you have to do? You got to turn it on. But then if it's not on your station, don't be complaining about don't be calling up to the radio tower and say, why aren't you guys transmitting the songs that I want? Well, what's your dial on?
Yeah. Right.
How many know in church, a lot of people, their dial's on lunch instead of service, right? You gotta not just be turned on, you need to be tuned in. And so a good receiver is somebody who's turned on and tuned in. Come on, just for fun, why don't we turn to your neighbor? It'd be great if it was your spouse and say, I'm turned on right now. And then now tell them I'm tuned in. And if we can't get both, we'll take one or the other. Hallelujah. Good receiver, turned on, dialed in, tuned in. Yeah. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. And we just start reading in the first verse here. There's something we want to get to as God would help us. It starts out by saying, sing, O barren. Now, isn't that interesting? Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Somebody tell me, if you're barren, what should you do?
Sing.
If you're barren, you should sing. Now, what does it mean to be barren? Anybody know what it means? It's not a trick question. It's just a question. You know what it means to be barren? What's that mean? That means that you cannot have children. How do you know you can't have children? How would you know? Because you've tried. You've tried. And so we know this is talking about somebody who's tried to have kids. They can't have kids. What would that represent, though? Let's put it in some very general terms. What are kids to a mommy and a daddy, or a husband and wife? What are kids? They are the fruit of their marriage. They are the product of that, of their love.
Amen.
Right? And when you're barren, it means you've put forth the effort right?
Yeah, that's right.
You've put forth the effort, but you're not seeing results.
Right.
Now, can that translate in some other parts of life? You're putting forth the effort.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm doing what I know to do, but where's the results?
Yeah,
what do you need to do?
Yeah,
what do you, sing. Someone tell me. I sing because.
Amen.
Right? Why would you sing instead of cry and complain? Because when you put forth the efforts and you're not seeing the results, singing doesn't come to mind normally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the F word. Faith.
Yeah.
Faith. All right, that's the Christian F word. You know that, right? Faith. Faith. Faith will sing when other people want to cry.
Come on now.
Well, why would you sing when it looks like you're not getting results? Why would you praise? Why would you? Because it's that action that allows God to get in there and work it. And if you'll do that,
that's right.
The Bible said more are the children of the desolate. You'll get more results on the other side of the singing. You'll get more results on the other side of the praising.
Yeah.
Than the person that looked like had the results all along. You know, has that ever bothered you? You're like, man, these folk aren't even in church. And look at them, they got this going, they got this going, they got this going. You know, it looks like they're prospering. The key word is looks like.
Yeah, looks like.
There's no such thing as prosperity without God.
Amen, that's right.
There's not.
You
know, the Bible says over in Psalm 66, I think, and I don't know about you, but I get my kicks in Psalm 66.
Yeah, amen.
But over in Psalm 66, it talks about you've let men ride over our heads.
Yeah, right.
You ever read that?
Yeah.
So we're going through the fire. We're going through the flood. You let men ride over our heads, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. And so when it looks like other folks passing you up, and you don't have something to show for your efforts, sing, baby, sing.
Yeah. Amen.
Exercise. Let faith
find
its way first in your heart, but then out of your mouth.
Right.
Now, that's not the verse I want to get to, but that one was there, so it didn't hurt anything.
Good.
It's good. All the word's good, right?
Yeah.
If you're barren, if you're not getting results, what do you need to do?
You can
sing your way. Now, of course, that's not just limited to singing. You know, sing, shout, praise, speak the word. What it's talking about is giving expression to the things that you know.
Yep.
Giving expression to what you know get you to the other side.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've danced myself into a home before. I've shouted myself into victory before. I've run myself into answers before.
Amen.
And if you've done those things, so have you.
Yeah.
Amen. It goes on to say this, though, in verse 2. Enlarge. Everybody say enlarge.
Enlarge.
Enlarge. Say it again. I like that word.
Enlarge.
Enlarge. Again.
Enlarge.
Enlarge. Other translations say broaden. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. You got to say that with me now. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you'll break forth on the right hand and on the left. And your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, Family Church ought to be a little more excited about these verses. How many know you don't even need to preach them? All you need to do is read them. You might say, I don't know all that means. Enlarge, honey. You know what enlarge means? What's it mean to enlarge?
Bigger.
It means you get big.
Yeah. Glory to God.
I want to minister to you some this morning about enlargement, if I can, as the Lord will help me. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
God's enlargement. You know, over in Colossians, it talks about increasing with the increase of God. I want to talk about enlargement, getting bigger. And where this goes, only God knows.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, I know you and I, we don't live in tents so much, but a tent is where you live.
Yeah, right.
Now, as Christians in the New Testament, where do we live? We live out of our heart. We live out of our heart, don't we? We live from the inside out.
That's right.
And so when it says enlarge the place of your tent, I believe one of the applications of this could be talking about get bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
God's already started saying some of this. God's got some big things he's wanting to do.
Amen.
He's ready. I should say it this way. There's some big things he's ready to do. And you guys here in this town and in this church, I mean, think of all the big things he's done already that you've been a part of, right? I mean, think about this building, right? You might say, well, that's big. It's a matter of perspective, yes. Yes, maybe around here it is. There's other places. I spent a number of years in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where this size church, you told somebody you went to a church and they thought it was this size church or this building, they'd say, oh, yeah, they're just getting started.
Yeah.
Perspective, that's all.
Yeah.
But then we're not diminishing what God's done.
Because
it's tremendous, just tremendous, right? But you've been a part of that. How many sowed toward this building at some point, right?
Yeah.
Good, first three rows. What about the rest of you? Ushers, pass out envelopes to all these in the back. And then you got Erie coming up. Glory. I mean, I'm excited to hear about that. I thought I was preaching there last night. I showed up and nobody was there. We didn't know the timing yet when we booked this. But how many are sowing into that, right?
Amen.
So is it a surprise? Is it a real shock if I said that God's not just wanting to do some things with the ministry, but because of your participation, he's also wanting to do some big things for you.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Glory to God.
Yes. Take you to some different levels, some different places.
Amen.
Enlarge your life.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
If he's going to do some big things for you, he's got to do some big things in you.
That's right.
If he's going to get your life bigger, we've got to get your heart bigger.
Yes. That's right.
The Bible says over in Proverbs 4, I hadn't planned to mention this, but you know this scripture. It says, and I quote it in my own translation, but it talks about guarding above all else the condition of your heart. Guard your heart above all. Is that what it says? For out of it are the issues of life. Or we could say it this way. Life flows from your heart. Or could we say it this way? Your outer man, the things that affect your exterior flow from the interior.
That's right.
The outward flows from the inward. Everything God does, it comes through your heart. He's got to get it in you before he can get it to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And what he's wanting to do for the church, for the ministry, for the area, and for you individually, he's got to get it in you. There's got to be some enlargement. You have to enlarge the place of your tent. You have to enlarge your heart. You've got to get bigger.
Glory to God.
On the inside.
Glory to God. Yeah.
Bigger.
That's right.
I know in this area, because in my opinion, I look at this church and I think, this is amazing. This is great. This is big. Can you renew your mind to think this is a good start?
Yeah, that's right.
But there's more.
That's right. Amen.
How many remember years ago when infomercials just started? Remember the Ginsu knife commercial? You guys remember the Ginsu knives, right? I don't know why it was because infomercials they didn't have whole channels devoted to them. And so you'd be watching this thing and they got this knife. This knife is cutting everything. Do you guys remember the Ginsu knife?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they take this thing and I mean, the razor thin on a tomato. Pow, 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 pow. And you're like, I don't cook. And I'm thinking, I've got to have one. Got to have me a Ginsu knife. And what they do is they just get you, they're reeling you in, you know, they get you by every slice. You're like, I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. Yeah. And then they stop and they say, but wait, there's more.
Yeah.
If you call now, you get two Ginsu knives.
Yeah.
If it's so great, why'd you need two of them?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyhow. And then they keep going on that. They get you in for the... But wait, there's more. If you call in the next 10 minutes, then it's only 7 easy payments, you know, instead of... And with the things of God, it's always that way. It's always, He'll show you something, get you into something, and He'll say, but wait, there's more.
Amen.
There's more. And get used to it, because for all eternity, the Bible says in the ages to come, He's going to be unveiling and showing us the riches of His goodness and His kindness.
Right.
You're never going to get to the point in all eternity when God says, and that's all I got.
Right. Come on now. Come on. Come on now. That's good.
There's always more. There's always more. And you might say, well, if He's so big and there's so much, then how come I haven't seen the more? Because He can only go as far as you'll go. He can't get bigger to you, again, if He can't get bigger in you. It's got to start in you. You remember over in the 78th Psalm. Oh, go there real quick. Psalm 78. Hallelujah. We're having fun. By the time you get there, I'll find the verse that I want. Yeah, there it is. Verse 41. Now this, before we read it, let me say this is talking about, how many know God wanted some big things for Israel?
Yeah.
He brought them out of a place called Egypt. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were in bondage. They were in slavery. Their lives were a mess, just like many of us before we received Christ. Well, all of us before we received Christ.
That's right.
Even if your life didn't look like a mess to those on the outside, it was because you just didn't know God.
Yeah,
right?
Amen.
And so God wanted to bring them into this great place, the promised land. But the big issue He had, how many know it wouldn't have been hard for God to do it? God was more than capable of getting Israel from Egypt through the wilderness, short journey, into the promised land. What was the big problem? Israel. Israel was Israel's problem. You know, folk always talking about the devil this, the devil that, this demon this, this demon. Look in the mirror, because that's the devil that you're going to have the most issues with. It's the one looking back at you. But that devil can be dealt with. Amen. In verse 41, it says, they turned back. Look at that. They turned back. Now over in Isaiah, it said, spare not. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. What did they do? They turned back. They backed up and tempted God and limited. Do you see that? They limited the Holy One of Israel. I thought God could do anything. No. Now talking about in the earth, God can do anything if He has the cooperation of His body.
Yeah, that's right.
But He can't do anything without the cooperation of His body any more than your head can do anything without the cooperation of your body. You ever had a day where you woke up, your head woke up and said, get out of bed, and your body said, no. No, not going to do it.
Yeah.
You ever had that?
Oh, yeah.
How much did you get done until your body got in cooperation with your head? You got nothing done.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is with the Lord. He can do nothing
without
His body. And so they limited Him.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, no devil can limit Him.
Right.
No circumstance can limit Him.
Right.
Only you. Only, isn't there a song? Only you. Only you can limit God. Now, I'm not trying to depress you, right? But just trying to keep us on guard. Well, what did they do? You could go through, read that psalm, talks about they spoke against Him. They didn't believe Him. They refused to believe Him. But it said they turned back. How many know if somebody turned back, that means that they did step out. They did set out. But they didn't go all the way with Him.
Yeah, come on. Glory to God. That's good, Reverend Joel.
If God's going to get done in your life, what he wants to do. And let me tell you what he has for you. He has enlargement for you.
That's right. That's right. He sure does.
Good. He's got enlargement, and it's good enlargement. Wants to make you bigger.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Glory.
Praise him. Wants to do bigger.
Yes.
But he can't do it without you.
Yeah.
He can't. And he needs you to not hold back, not turn back. But when he, so when do you go? When do you move? When do you make movement? When he says to.
Yeah, that's right.
He told Israel, the promised land, there it is before you. Now go get it, boys. And they said, no.
Yeah.
Look at the giants in that land.
Yeah.
What is a giant? What's a giant? It's someone who's
big.
And so if you're going to tackle a giant, you ever had a giant in your life? If you're going to tackle a giant, what do you need to do?
Yeah.
You just need to get bigger.
Yeah, that's right.
You ever come up against something in life? It's like, this is bigger than me. Yeah, happens all the time.
Yeah.
What do you have to do?
Get
bigger.
Amen.
Don't turn back and back up and say, I don't believe I will, thank you. Lord, you take care of it. No, the way he's taking care of it is he'll give you the faith, he'll give you the tools, but you're going to have to go get them.
Yeah, that's good. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's right. That's right, Reverend.
You got to get bigger. That means you got to get rid of things that are small.
Come on.
You got to get rid of thinking that's tiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, God gave them a big land. It was a big land.
Yeah.
There were giants in the land. Did the Lord know that there were giants there? And he left them anyhow? How come? Why would he leave giants in the land in the iron chariots? Why would he leave all that for them? So they could whip them. So they could whip them. So they could dispossess them. This is how the Lord works now. You want bigger? Does he have it for you? You got to get bigger. You got to get bigger. I think in the late 50s, they had a movie come out. It was a horror movie, but for some reason, my mom saw it. I wasn't alive in the 50s, but for some reason, my mom let me watch it at some point on TV or something. It's called The Blob. Does anybody ever hear of The Blob? Now, I mean, the special effects were just, they were there, you know, in the 50s. How many remember The Blob? You know, The Blob started out just as this little tiny thing. But what did it do? Every time it took something, every time it grabbed something, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Until it can't get out one of the doors of the movie theater. It's busting out both doors of the, right? Taking over everything. That's the picture of your heart, your spirit. You got to get bigger on the inside. Stop putting up with small thinking, small believing. You know, you can tell where people are. You can tell the size of people's heart by just listening to them talk a little bit.
The
pastor drives up to church in a new car. Well, why'd they get that? Where'd they get that from? I never had something that nice. It's obvious why you haven't. Listen to you talk. Just keep listen to what you're saying. We're not shocked that you, right? That, what do we know about that person? Small-hearted, narrow-hearted. Can I show you another scripture?
Yes.
I'm going to try to be really nice and kind today. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Bigger, bigger, bigger. What you guys got going on here at this church? This is a good start. This is a good start. But there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. We got to get into the more. We got to get into the more.
That's right.
But the more has to get into us first.
That's
it's
right. Got
to get on the inside of us if we're going to get into it. We're going to move into it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's here. It's here. All we're not waiting on God to crank open a spout.
Yeah, come on now. Come on now.
God, give me another two drips. Give me. No, we're not waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on us to receive something.
Yeah.
Waiting on us to get bigger.
Yes.
Enlarged.
Yes.
Broadened.
Yeah, so good.
Even what I'm preaching here today, you know, even in when I'm ministering to people, you know, pastor will tell you this, it's possible for him to have something big in his heart.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's ever going to get in your heart. What do you have to do? You got to get bigger on the inside to even receive some of what's being ministered. Where are you? 2 Corinthians 6, right? Yeah. Hang on, I'm getting there too. Chapter 6. In the 11th verse, look at this. It says, O Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is what?
Enlarged.
Our heart is enlarged. Now, medically speaking, I don't think that's a good thing. But spiritually speaking, that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul was writing. Paul's saying, Corinthians, listen, we're before you. Our heart is wide open.
Yes. Yeah.
But now look what it says. You are not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. Now, I know that means, like, what in the world does that mean in the King James? The word straitened, you want to know what the word straitened means? It means restricted and characterized by poverty.
Yep. Come on now.
And when the Bible talks about your bowels, don't worry, it's not getting gross. It's talking about your innards, your spiritual inside, your heart. Paul's saying, your spirit is what's restricted. Our heart's wide open. But how many of the connections not being made? You're only getting as much as your narrow heart would receive. That's what he's saying. And in verse 13, it says, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as to my children, be ye also enlarged. He's saying, guys, would you get big enough so that we can get over to you what we want to get over to you? We want to. God wants to deliver some things to you through us. We need you to get big enough to get it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So
that's
good.
Right.
That's right. So good.
Get big.
Yeah.
Can I read this to you in the Message translation? Would you listen a second? It says, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively.
Yeah.
That's just a fancy way of saying get bigger.
Yeah.
Get big on the inside.
God.
You know, I know with us, the Lord will let folks start out, especially people that are responding to His call. And you know, whether or not you're called to a pulpit ministry or whatever, all of us are called to serve. You know, all of us are called to work for Him. And He'll let you start out from the bottom. I mean, you know, I wasn't raised in poverty. We weren't raised in any kind of extravagant wealth either. We were blessed. You know, a huge blessing, my mom and dad managed to stay together the whole time. That was Jesus. You know what I mean? I'm so thankful for that. That was major prosperity for our family. And, you know, they provided for us and things like that. But my wife and I started out, well, we started out in ministry. And basically, I started out full-time ministry with $50 a week. And didn't have a place to stay because you couldn't get an apartment on that, you know what I mean? But that's what I made for about 3 years. And I'm not complaining.
No.
But I'm just saying the Lord will let you start out in a place.
That's
But he also started early teaching me how to sow so that my circumstances wouldn't cause my heart to get small.
Right, that's good.
So that I wouldn't look at that $50 a week and allow that to border in my life. And the way he'll do that is he'll always have you giving out.
Yes.
Why? Because you have to have a bigger opening to give out. Yes. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus say, if somebody comes after your coat, what are you supposed to do? Give to them. Somebody slaps you in the face, what are you supposed to do? Here, I won't. Give them two. Give them extra.
Right.
Somebody comes, tries to force them. What's that for? Keeping your heart big.
Yeah.
Not letting your heart get constricted and limited by the size of what you see around you.
That's good.
Well, we got started learning some of these principles, started learning about sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Lord had us just on a sowing regimen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just giving here, partner here, giving there, all the time.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, we weren't making a lot. We were in Bible school at this time. And He finally got us into our first house. And oh my Lord, it was such a blessing. We had our own home. And for where we were and the age we were, and it was nice for where we were. But if you walk about half a block down the street, it's the ghetto. And so there we were in this house, and we just had our son, and we go out in the stroller with our son and our dog Samson. And so we'd take a walk after dinner, you know, through the neighborhood. The only problem is our house was the nicest one in the neighborhood. So I'm fighting. I'm looking at the ghetto the rest of the time. I mean, it got bad really quick. And we're like, should we go down this street? Well, that's how you get to the other street. We got to take our walk, you know. And I finally realized that I was getting used to living there. And I was getting to where I was comfortable there. And it finally dawned on us, you know what? There's a new neighborhood. We'd have to drive to get there, but let's take our walks in the new neighborhood where they're building all the houses.
Okay.
And the nice houses. And we started doing that, you know? And so now we got the stroller, and I don't know that we brought the dog on those, but we get the stroller out, and we're taking these walks, and we're looking at all these houses going up.
Yeah.
And we start talking about how we could live in something like this someday.
Yeah, sure.
That's what we started doing that.
Yeah.
What was the Lord doing? He was getting bigger on the inside of us.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good.
And I mean, we go over, look at the prices. I'm like, oh my gosh, $135,000. Jesus couldn't get, I mean, he couldn't pay that. That was in the 90s, you know. I mean, I choked when I saw the price, so I stopped looking at the prices. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
There's always something that'll come along to choke you, keep you from getting bigger.
Sure.
Yeah, like this, it all seemed good. There was an anointing about it. There was a witness about it. And then I looked at the price. Oh, Lord. Oh, never mind. Never mind. Never mind why. Because God couldn't do it? No, you came up against a giant and you backed down. You pulled back. Huh? But he wants you to lengthen and strengthen. Everybody say lengthen and strengthen. I'm just getting warmed up. Is it time to go already? Praise the Lord. Lengthen and strengthen. This is the lengthen and strengthen doctrine you're getting this morning. Stretch. Didn't it say enlarge? Stretch out. Stretch.
That's right.
Raise your hand, and I hope all the hands are ladies. Raise your hand if you've ever had a baby. Was there any stretching? And was the stretching pure comfort? Huh? How many would agree, ladies, that the stretching wasn't the most comfortable thing you've ever done in your life? Huh? But are you glad you did it? Some of you still waiting for things to put back in place. Anyhow, whatever. It's not comfortable, but if you don't do it, you never get, that baby never comes.
Right. That's right. Come on.
You know, when our daughter, I have a son and a daughter. My son's 18. He's graduating from high school in a few weeks.
Wow.
And my daughter's 15. And my daughter, she's always been the one to challenge us a little more, but we can handle it. And when she was about to be born, I mean, everything was the right openings and all. I won't get into that because I don't know what I'm talking about, but everything was, you know, dilated and this and that. And here we are, ready to go. And The gynecologist, our doctor, see, she helped us with our first child. We had kind of gotten friends with her over the years. And she was a young lady in Oklahoma where we lived. And so sweet, sweet, just sweet lady. You'd never think there was anything but sweet in her. And she's, you know, she had Amy push. Amy pushed my wife. She pushed once, and she's like, no, this is not happening today. And the doctor said, Amy, push. And she said, I can't. And right before my eyes, that doctor turned into the Incredible Hulk. I watched. I thought she was demon-possessed. That doctor who was so cute and so sweet, she said, Amy, I said, push that baby out. And boom, there we came. We had to holler at her to come out. And we've been hollering. No, I'm just kidding. The stretching wasn't easy. It wasn't comfortable. And it almost seemed like I can't do this. I can't do this. But I want to tell you this morning, push that thing out. You can do it. Let God stretch you. There's big things He wants to do, but He's got to have some big on the inside of you. You got, listen, I've lived in this area for a lot of years, and I know, listen, a lot in this area, there's been a lot of bad economy for a long time, and you know, you look on this side of you, and there's a house falling down, you look on this side of you, and you know what I mean? It's like, who's living there? How many of them are there? What are they doing at night? It's easy to let your circumstances define the size of your insides and put the boundaries on you and limit you. But I'm telling you, you got to get some other input. You got to let the Word set your boundaries. The Lord told Israel, He said, those giants, they are bread for you. Those, they're dinner. You can do it. You can take it. All you need to do is get bigger than the giants. Don't let your circumstances define you. Get bigger. Get bigger. Get bigger. Come on, preach it to somebody. Go turn to your neighbor and say, get bigger. God can do bigger for you. Don't let your dreams be squashed by what you see around you. I'm telling you, God, now for some reason with us, one of the things that Lord's helped us get bigger with, he's put us in different houses at different times. Now, all that is, I mean, it's nice to live in a nice place for sure, but all that is He was helping us get bigger for other things. Because a stretch is a stretch. You know what I mean? He'd help us stretch in this and stretch in that. But I'm telling you, there were some things where I was like, oh, no, not even God could do this. And it just, I had to renew myself, renew my mind, not look at the price tag. And there's times he made it happen like that, different stuff. He's big. He's big enough to do it. I'm getting mad at somebody. Who do you have that needs to be slapped here today? I just want to, let me know. Give me a list. He's slapping today. He's a big God. He's a big God. He's a big God. Well, that's my introduction. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Has He dealt with any of you about some things that you could just say? Now, I don't mean publicly. I'm just meaning in your own heart. You could say, I can make an adjustment here and embrace some of what He's put before me. Can we do it for the church and the ministry here? Can we say, bless God, we're going to get this puppy paid off. And then go on down the road and do it again. And then go on down the road and do it again. And just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until the Family Church blob just is all over. You look at the map, the blob that says Family Church just boom, all over the Northeast. And bigger, 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 bigger. Enlargement. Get big. Get big. Get big. How do you do it? How did the blob get big? He kept taking in one person and He took in another person. How do you and I get big? You just keep taking in and taking in and taking in, and you help your vision. You just get Let the Lord show you things. And when he shows it to you, don't sit and argue about how we could never afford that. We could never afford
yeah,
just
on.
Shut your mouth. Put a clothespin on your lips and go look and just let him. Who's all is it is really is the nice is the new cars just for the drug dealers to have?
Come on now.
Listen, are the airplanes just for the porn executives to fly around with to one convention to another?
Come on now. Come on. Yeah.
Bigger.
Hallelujah.
Bigger. Glory to God. Y'all ought to praise God a minute. Y'all ought to stand up and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Big, 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 big. Hallelujah. I'm done. Do what you want with it. We'll be back tonight for more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Bigger! Praise you, Father. We just glorify you, Father God. We magnify you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, folks, you don't want to miss tonight. Because I'm telling you that what you're seeing here in this service really is a prelude to what is... tonight is part two. And there's things that are going to be done tonight, amen, that you don't want to miss. You know, so many times, you know, people will, they'll arrange their schedule for a dentist appointment. You know, they'll make sure to talk to their employer, you know, for a doctor's appointment or something. You know, I tell you what, if you weren't planning to be here tonight, I tell you, rearrange your schedule. 6 p.m., you have an appointment with God. You don't want to miss it. You know, I heard this as Reverend Joel is ministering, you know, that a lot of God's people, they're feeding the wrong blob. You know, every time you say, oh, I'm not going to lift my hands and praise God, you're feeding the wrong blob. Oh, I won't be a giver. I won't be a tither. I'm not going to serve in the local church. I'm going to complain about my spouse. You are feeding the blob. You know, come on now. Why don't we open our hearts to God? Why don't we enlarge our hearts? Glory to the Lord. Be willing, be consecrated, whatever he wants to do in our lives, and you'll start feeding your spirit. You're feeding on the word, praying to the Lord. I'll tell you what, you're not going to get bigger on the outside until you first get bigger on the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. We're going to get ready to take up this morning's love offering for Reverend Joel and his ministry. And we're going to help support him as he travels from local church to local church. Amen. Glory to God. There is an extra envelope there, a white envelope in the seat pocket in front of you. Any checks should be made out to Family Church. And then after tonight's service, we're going to give a nice big check to Reverend Joel and support them as they go and do what God has called them to do. Praise the Lord. You do not, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying this as a pastor to just promote a service. Listen, God's going to do something great in this service tonight. Don't miss it. I'm saying that out of love. I'm not saying it just to promote something. I want you to have God's highest in God's best. Amen. In your life. And, you know, I'll tell you what. Glory to God. I got so many answers this morning. There's so many things that Reverend Joel doesn't even know that I'm going to share with him at lunch or whatever. You know, I so many times I don't like to have in-depth conversations with ministers before they come in here. Then when God just supernaturally says things that pertain to this church, to our lives, amen, that I know that it's the Holy Ghost ministering to me. And no doubt you had that happen to you as well this morning. Oh, my goodness. I got so many answers. I'm going to get even more tonight. Amen. Glory to God. So let's go ahead and get our offering ready for Reverend Joel.